So we're trusting this morning for a shift on the inside of us. As I said last night, the kingdom must first come within us before it can come through us. First within us before it can come through us. So there's something that needs to shift. Our hearts, our minds need to align with the kingdom of heaven. And it is as simple as starting to believe that this is for you. Getting healed, the key is to believe that God wants to heal you and will heal you. The key for praying for the sick is you actually need to believe that God wants to and will heal through you. So something needs to shift on the inside. So you need to start believing. You need to start to get the word of God in your mouth and start declaring it over your life. So let's just say it. I am a Holy Spirit magnet. That's more profound than you think, because most of us err to the side of guilt and condemnation. I've not done enough. God doesn't want to be with me. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not all these things. And the truth is, through the cross of Christ, you are a Holy Spirit magnet. On Thursday or Friday morning, I think it was Friday morning, yesterday morning, I felt God speak to me. I just woke up with this word. You underestimate the significance of the cross. You underestimate the significance of the cross. You underestimate how much God has done through his death on the cross. He has washed away our sin. He's removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. You're now a child of God. You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. And God wants to be with you. You are a Holy Spirit magnet. I want to be with my boy. I mean, half a day away and I'm like, I miss him. I want to be with him. Now, my Svian is an Andre magnet. He's a daddy magnet. He's definitely a mommy magnet. There are no doubts about that. You know, it's like because of who he is, we want to be with him. And it's the same for you. We underestimate the significance of the cross. We underestimate how final, how complete the victory of the cross has been. And this includes the power of healing. So I want to highlight a few things. I've shared some of this before. I just want to highlight it again. But I really feel God spoke to me when it's basically just many churches and many believers, they plant themselves in the desert, in the Sahara Desert. There's a picture. So many Christians are Christian in name, and they go through the religious motions, and they sing, and they read the Bible, but it's a desert. It's dry. It's powerless. It's ineffective. There's no life. And what God actually wants to do is, and there's this verse that speaks in the book of Revelation of this river of life that flows from the throne of God. Other verses in the other parts of the Bible actually speaks of a stream of fire coursing forth from the throne of God. But there's a river of life. Wherever this river goes, it brings life. And so the next picture, that's God's heart for his bride, for his church. The key is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. So many churches plant themselves in the middle of the Sahara. Many Christians plant themselves in the Sahara desert, dry spiritually. And I really believe there's a call for us to come to the Spirit, a call for us to come to the river of life. If you're in Egypt, you go and put your city around the Nile. So we must position ourselves as a church, but also as individuals at that river of life. And so there's this call for us, okay? So, I shared this before, but I really believe there are five rivers of life. That one river has been split into five rivers of grace. And the diagram gives it, the apostolic church, the fivefold ministry. And this morning, I want to touch on each one of those five in the context of physical healing, in the context of cultivating a supernatural life. Okay, so there's five. The top one represents the prophetic, hosting the presence. The next one there is souls win. It's the grace of the evangelist. Then the next one is the teacher, where the word becomes flesh. The next one is the pastor, the pastor anointing, the pastor grace, where relationships flourish. And the next one is where the apostolic, where the kingdom reign. But together, it gives us an apostolic church. I believe that when all five of these rivers flow together, in other words, if all five rivers of grace are operating in one church, you'll have sustainable revival. I really believe that when you add those five rivers to one another, five rivers of grace, if you have the apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor, all of them together, that grace flowing amongst God's people, you will have sustainable revival and you'll have balance. I've found most churches and people and ministries I've looked at, when the imbalance is because there's a lack of one or two or three of those five, and they focus only on certain aspects of the fivefold ministry. Okay, but so there's an anointing, and the key of all of this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. Five rivers of grace, and the amazing thing is each of us can receive this grace. Okay, so I want to now just touch on different aspects of healing, and then we're going to get a few testimonies of some of you that have prayed for people to be healed. Okay, there's a quote there. The atonement of Christ lays the foundation equally for deliverance from sin and for deliverance from disease. Let me say that again. The atonement of Christ, when Jesus died on the cross, when he shed his blood, lays the foundation equally for deliverance from sin and for deliverance from disease. Healing of the body is not, therefore, a side issue, as some represented. It is no more this than the healing of the soul is a side issue. It's not a side issue. So many people feel it's not so important. It is. It's critical. It's the heart of the gospel. And so you have the two arms of the cross. The one is salvation, and the other one is healing. God, that's what Jesus died on the cross, salvation and healing. James Moore Hickson says there, a living church is one in which the living Christ lives and walks, doing through its members what he did in the days of his flesh. It must therefore be a healing church as well as a soul-saving church. The living Christ lives and walks. If Jesus was here, what would he do? So what is the heart of the gospel? Let me ask this. What did Jesus do? What was the three main things that Jesus did? Anybody? Anybody? He taught, yeah? He healed the sick, set the captives free. Deliverance. Yes. So to sum up, you said it. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. You want to sum it up? That's what he did. More than anything else, go read through the gospels. That's what he did. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. Okay, what did he teach his disciples to do? Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Deliver demons. Okay, then the Great Commission. What did he command us? Go disciple the nations. Teach them what? To do what I taught you. What did he teach them? Preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. Okay, how much of that are we doing? Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Whoa, now we don't do that at all. At least we're really moving forward. I mean, praise God. But I mean, in many churches, they you don't even try. I mean, it's off limits. It's not for today anymore. But the living Christ has said, this is what I'm doing. I preach the kingdom. I come and reveal the kingdom. Then I demonstrate the kingdom. I show you the kingdom. You can't preach the kingdom without demonstrating the kingdom. So that it's at the heart of the gospel is I preach it, then I show it. Or I show it, and then I preach it. That's what God has called us to. That's what he wants to do. Not now. And I tell you, if it's just been stirring in my heart over the last few years, and I mean, I've been focused a lot on apologetics in the past, you know, creation, evolution, and all the other things, all the arguments, you know, to argue someone into the kingdom. And I just come to my mind, it doesn't work. It's frustrating. Sometimes it works. And it's good to give answers to people, yes. I'd say just love, okay, let's stop arguing. Let me show you. Let me show you. Right now, let me show you. God lives. That's what God has called us to. That's what he wants to do. So what did Jesus do? Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. I want to read you a testimony. A few. This is from Guillermo Maldonado's book. Do you want to? I'm going to tomorrow actually share a few completely crazy stories. Just to increase our faith, just to really, you know, every testimony, we're going to get there in a moment, but every testimony, you know, I think sometimes when we hear somebody sharing a testimony, oh, I got a breakthrough, we're like, why him and not me? Or why her and not me? Why did they get healed but not me? And so we so focus on, God, why not me? Instead of seeing a testimony as an invitation for the same and more. If the kingdom of God could do it somewhere else, why can't it do it right here, right now? I'm looking differently. Every testimony I hear is like, wow, the kingdom of God is not about the man or the woman through whom it was done. It's the kingdom, and the kingdom is everywhere. And I just realized through the cross, we underestimate the significance of the cross. When Jesus' blood was shed, when it dripped onto the ground, the whole earth became pregnant with potential. The whole earth became pregnant with potential, just waiting for the word to be released, just waiting for the testimony to be released. There was a woman named Amalia, who was a member of a church in Argentina under the covering of this church, the King Jesus Ministry. And she witnessed the resurrection to raise a child from the dead. She'd had an at-risk pregnancy that had caused her to go into labor in a sixth month. The birth was complicated, and the baby girl was stillborn. The doctors held the infant under observation for several hours, but she was finally declared officially dead, and her body was sent to the morgue. When the church heard the news, they began to intercede for the family. The child's dead. It's too late. As soon as Amalia was able, she asked to see her daughter's body. But because of the many rules and regulations, she had to wait 12 hours before receiving permission. Finally, she and her husband were allowed to go to the morgue. The forensic doctor led them to a small box where the baby's body lay dead. When he opened the box, Amalia and her husband saw that the baby was wrapped in cloth. Amalia removed the cloth, took her daughter's cold hand in hers to say goodbye. Suddenly, they heard a weak sound, and the baby moved. She was alive. The impact of this experience was so great that Amalia was on the verge of fainting. When the forensic doctor saw what was happening, he started to cry. He couldn't get over his shock. The baby had spent 12 hours in the morgue at extremely low temperatures. She was immediately taken to the neonatal unit and given the attention she required. There, the doctors confirmed that her vital signs were normal. When the director of the hospital heard what had happened, he suspended every doctor and nurse who had attended at the delivery, thinking the baby's parents would file a malpractice suit because he did not understand how something like this could occur. Finally, everyone had to admit that what had happened had been a miracle of God. The baby girl had been raised from death by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ while she'd been in the morgue, lying in the box. No one was even there. That blesses me so. Just to know that, just the prayers of the saints. The news went out to the media throughout the country and the world. Today, the baby, Luz Milagros, is with her family, growing strong and healthy. Similar miracles can happen in your life. Isn't that amazing? It's never over. It's never over. And the key is a few things that I want to share with you now. So the fivefold ministry, the five graces, the five rivers of grace, it's five missions. Five missions that each of us need to embrace, to cultivate. It's part of cultivating a lifestyle of the supernatural. You need to embrace each one of these five missions. It needs to be part of your makeup, part of your DNA, part of your being. Now, I've shared this a few times in the past, but I'm going to share this again. Key truth, you're not filled with the Spirit simply because you pray in tongues. You're filled with the Spirit when you're full of the Spirit. When are you full? When you overflow. When you overflow the presence of God. And we need to pursue Him. Are you overflowing with the presence of God? Well, if you're not, then we need to seek Him. So the first mission is His presence. We need to host His presence. Why? Because His presence heals. In the context of healing, His presence heals. When Jesus is present, people are healed. When Jesus is present, people are healed. And so we need to become carriers of His kingdom by faith. And all of heaven converges on the anointed ones. What's the anointing? Anointing is the Holy Spirit. And I just sense God spoke to me. All of heaven converges, focuses, zooms in, comes upon those who are the anointed ones. Who's that? Someone in another country. That's you, that's me. Let's say that I am anointed. I am powerfully anointed. Now, when you start believing that, you'll start seeing it. But we need to pursue God that He may fill us up with more of Him. Look at this verse, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, "If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Immediately. Let's say that immediately, immediately, suddenly, in a moment, it happened. The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" I've shared this before, but the kingdom, Jesus preached and said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." It is at hand. Now, for this lady, it was. She just believed, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. So she reached out, she touched Jesus' garment, and she was healed. So the kingdom is at hand for those who believe. The kingdom is far for those who do not believe. In other words, if you have an unbelieving theology in your makeup, an unbelieving, doubting theology, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You believe that God doesn't heal, so He won't. You believe that God won't pitch when you pray, so He doesn't. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your theology becomes your bondage. I have found that one of the things that's increased my faith more than anything else is healing. When you touch somebody, I mean, when we were in India, that one meeting, the Sunday evening, where I prayed for two people and then nothing happened, and then after that, you can't be the same. This little boy, 7, 8 years old boy, who can't speak, he just stands there, you know, just stands, he's mute from birth. You pray for him, and he speaks. And his mom says, first time ever. It is physically impossible for someone who hasn't spoken in 8 years. But that rocked my world. That absolutely rocked my world. You can't be the same after you've seen God touch someone like that. So you need somebody else to be healed for your own faith, so that you can start seeing God for who He is, so that you can start living in a way that is in alignment with the kingdom of God. You need it more than anything else, because it will increase your faith more than it will obviously change somebody's life. You need to pursue it. with everything within you. The kingdom is at hand for those who believe. And in this verse there, this is amazing. Jesus was so full of the Holy Spirit. And this is for me so powerful. He was so full of the Holy Spirit that the lady can just touch the hem of his garment and she gets healed. His cloak was so covered in anointing, the presence of God, that just coming in contact with that would heal. And why is that so profound? It's so profound because Jesus wasn't even aware that she was there. He wasn't aware that she was there. Why is that profound? You can ask, is it God's will to heal everyone? Absolutely, because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, didn't tell him there was someone coming to touch him. It was literally whoever would come in contact with the presence of God would be healed. Whoever would come in contact with the anointing of God would be healed. If there's just a little bit of faith there, there's a spark to get that oil burning. It is the will of God always. We're always wondering, God, is it your will? Is it your will? It is. It is. We must just seek more of his grace, that this river of his presence would flow in our lives. Same with the Apostle Paul, Acts 19, 11 to 12. Now God worked unusual miracles. Let's say that, unusual miracles. By the hands of Paul. Let's change that. By the hands of me. You. Let's say that. Now God will work unusual miracles through my hands in Jesus' name. Because it's the same anointing. It's not the man or the woman or special people. We are all sons and daughters of God. We are all special. All we need to do is say, God, just fill me up. Just fill me up with this grace. Whoever comes into contact with me, they will be changed. So it says that so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Now that blows my theology again. It doesn't say anybody cast out the devil in Jesus' name. It doesn't say they even prayed for the sick in Jesus' name. That's just, they brought the handkerchief. I love that. The power of the presence. In other words, no one even needed to say it in the name of Jesus, but just because God was present, someone's life was changed. The devil had to go. He cannot stand the light. The presence of God is key. So many people, they get offended or upset. Like, I prayed, nothing happened. So what? Just ask God for more. Next time. Ignore when it doesn't work. Focus on when it works. That's all I did the whole last year. I just write down every healing that happened. I wrote it down. I ignore everyone who died. And then, yes, let's move on. Now, last year, before we went to India, there was a girl, Susetu. A girl, Bernard, one of the doctors, told me about her. We went to hospital to pray for people, and so he asked us to go pray for this girl. And so she had cancer in her leg. Her leg was like swollen like a rugby ball. It was the cancer. It was just massive. A beautiful young girl, 17 or 16, and they had to amputate the leg soon, but she wasn't in good health, etc. Anyway, so we prayed for her, and she felt God touch her. She felt change. She was blessed. She was completely despairing before we got there. And so we prayed for her, and we felt God was touching her. And so we went back again a bit later. Then we sent the whole team there. And so we stood around the bed there, and we just worshipped, and we just praised God, and we ministered to her, and we loved her. And then we went back again, and other people went back again. And then 2 days before we left for India, the dad phoned me and said she passed away. Now, you can be miserably upset and disappointed about that. Or you can say, God, what an honor to have been with this girl, to usher her into your presence, to make sure she's a Christian, to make sure that she has hope and faith, and to usher her into your kingdom. But even more than that, I felt the Lord spoke to me. When we were praying over her like that, I was feeling God was, I saw this picture of a sash around someone's body. And I felt God saying, when you pray for people, even when they don't get healed, you are preparing to receive the gift for that healing. So when you're praying for people with cancer, you don't see change. You just say, God, I'm pressing in. God, I thank you. At some stage, you're going to give me that anointing. You're going to give me that grace to break through this cancer. I think it was with Bill Johnson, his grandfather, his dad, passed away from cancer. And everyone was praying. I mean, everybody was trusting it's going to be healed. And he wasn't healed, and they were very depressed. And then the word of the Lord came to Bill saying, what happened now has opened the door for you for a greater anointing, a greater increase for others to be healed from cancer. And so after his dad passed away from cancer, now they are seeing hundreds of cancers disappearing from people's bodies. So even a so-called failure in the context of the cross becomes a victory. But beyond that, I have found you cannot become proud when it comes to the ministry of healing. It breaks you. You sit, you hold their hands, you hear their fears, you see the tears, it affects you, and it's good. It affects you. The compassion unlocks even more of God's grace. So Paul did unusual miracles. And what's important here is that sometimes people say when there's a miracle, say, but that's not in the Bible. So what? Is God contained in Scripture? No. He is Scripture. All of Scripture is of God. But He's greater than Scripture. The Bible actually says that if you had to contain all the miracles, if you have to write down all the miracles Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books in the world. So unusual miracles, and it's not in the Scriptures. I mean, before the Apostle Paul did this, this wasn't in the Scriptures. God is greater. God is greater. So practically speaking, hunger for His presence. Every time it doesn't work, all I'm doing is saying, God, give me more. More of You. More love. More compassion. More of Your grace. More of Your presence. More of Your anointing. God, let it drip off my life. May the anointing of God drip off our lives. May people, just imagine just somebody just touching someone, or someone just randomly, you just walk in the shopping mall, you bump them, and woo, man, come on, healed. That, according to the Scriptures, this is possible. So, this is where worship is so powerful. Worship is so the key, the presence of God. Over and over again, the Lord has spoken to us about the power of worship. So cultivating a lifestyle of the supernatural, you need to worship God. And I'm not talking singing songs. I am talking worship in His presence, powerful, passionate. I think it's Bill Johnson that said, if you have an hour to pray, then worship for 50 minutes, pray for 10. I would so agree with that. Unbelieving prayer is a waste of time. Worship until you have faith. Worship until you believe. And it's the same when you pray for the sick. When you start off, you know, pray to God first. And you say, okay, just pray until you have faith. Pray until the presence of God comes. Wait for His presence to touch them. Just practically speaking. Just hold their hands and you say, God, I welcome Your presence. Wait until His presence becomes tangible. And wait until your faith is released. And then you command. Then you command in Jesus' name. So it's powerful, and just in terms of the healing, you can receive this anointing as an impartation. It can just be released over your life. There was a New Zealander who prayed for 1,000+ people. Nothing happened. Nobody got sick. Nobody got healed. More than 1,000 people he prayed for them. Nobody got healed. And then he went to a Randy Clark conference. Randy Clark focused on healing, and he had an encounter with God. He fell over under the power of the Spirit. He was out for a few hours. When he got up, people got healed. He received an impartation. But he was hungry. You don't pray for 1,000 people and don't stop. If you don't want it. So you need to desire it. It's not like God's going to say, oh, please, man, don't you want the gift of healing? Oh, please. Come on. I really want to give it to you. It's like, no, we want it. So I'm going to go to who's hungry. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the fullness of God? It will change you forever when you see people get healed under the power of your hands. Just when you touch them and they tell you, it's the fire. It's the fire. It's often happened in India. People would say, it's the fire. And they got healed. And I was at this conference here. We were at this Christian Center conference with Surprise Atole, and some of you were there. And I remember the one part of the week, Surprise Atole said, whoever wants the anointing to raise the dead, come and touch me and receive it. So I was thinking, okay, well, fun, let's, yeah. So I was like sort of moving in that direction, you know, open for anything. And as I was moving in that direction, and there was a crowd of people, I was like 200 plus people sort of crowding, come trying to get the anointing. And then as I was doing this, I saw this woman lay on the floor. And this crowd of people were about to storm over her. And that was a God moment for me. In that moment, God spoke to me and he said, don't lust after the anointing. And so a few of us grabbed the lady and picked her up and got her out of the way. Don't lust after the anointing. Don't walk over people to get more of the anointing. The love of God, loving people is more important. God will give to you what you need to get. But don't be let's not be freaks where people feel unloved and all they experience is you're just on a mission for a miracle. You know? That's not of God. The love of God must be at the core, must be at the center. Don't lust. Love. Love. Okay, so the mission one, presence. And this is where you can cultivate. Every day of your life, you can cultivate. You can pursue. You can grow in worship. You can grow in pursuing his presence. Mission two is the kingdom reign. The diagram left one, the apostolic kingdom reign. This is where the power of the kingdom. Now if you want to walk on water, who wants to walk on water? Representing the supernatural. If you want to walk on water, what do you need to do? Get out of the boat. It's not like, I want to walk on water. I want to walk on water. I want to walk on water. But you stay in the boat. You're never going to walk on water. You need to get out of the boat. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the sick healed. Well, then pray for someone. I promise you, it's as simple as that. I'm amazed how often people just simply get healed because I just prayed for them. So you need to step out. And so God comes and he helps us. And so I remember when we had the Unblocking the Wells last year for the sick. It was the second Monday evening. And now we have prayed for no one yet, really prayed for no one. As now is the moment. And I just like, I'm in the boat and I'm like, I'm freaked out, God. I'm freaked out. I don't want to. You know, and I remember then we were watching videos and then I it's one of those moments, you know, it's weird, it just, it's freaky, I know it's weird, but I was standing over here somewhere and I just felt like a wind blowing from behind me. No, the wind never blows from behind, ever. But I felt a presence, behind me. I really believe it's an angel. I have received prophetic words of angels being assigned to us. And in that moment, I felt God put the angel in my boat and he kicked me. Get out. Now do it. Just do it. If you just do it, you'll see it's going to work. And so I just had this one word. I just felt knees and was Yanni. And she has now had about 2 months that she has been battling with her knee. And I just felt God wants to heal someone's knee. And then we released that. And then she went running up and down the stairs there. And then she was completely healed. And the next day she went to the gym. And she did her spinning. No pain. She took a selfie video afterwards. and no pain. And that was the start, in a sense, of the 100 or so people who were healed. But the gift of faith is key. The gift of faith is key. Faith accesses. When we came back from India last year, we had the service at the Bikers Church next door. And some of you were there. And I've never had so much faith as that evening. That was one of the most, for me, that was, you know, it's hard. It might look the same to you, but you know on the inside when you minister, when you have real faith. Sometimes you're just faking it till you make it. And there was no faking. It was just, I just knew, God, tonight you're going to heal people. I just knew it. It's like the gift of faith that's released upon you. And it's like Jesus climbs on the inside of you, and then it's his faith through you. And so that evening we asked, I think it was knees and ankles and backs, and we asked people to stand. And then we prayed for them, and then we asked if you feel better, 80% more better, wave. And about, what, 8, 9, 10 people waved. And the one young man came to share. He was in a, was driving his motorcycle the morning, and then a drunk driver hit him, and he was went to the hospital that morning, and he was in loads of pain that evening. And I think, Herman, you prayed for him, eh, brother? Come on. And Herman prayed for him, and he came and he shared how the pain disappeared from his body. Praise Jesus. Come on. F.F. Bosworth says, it is impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing that we are not sure God offers. The power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known. The power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known. But we can start off by just saying, but God, your word says basically it reveals through the cross. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. Matthew 4:23, where it speaks of everyone was healed. There's quite a few scriptures. I just took some out of Matthew that it speaks everyone was healed. Just a quick question. Do you believe that it's the will of God to forgive someone's sin? You're speaking to the prostitute, and how many men? Whoa, 200, 300, 400. I don't think God can forgive that. That's you, you're just too far gone. Huh? No. The blood of Christ washes away all sin. Same with healing. It's the same. In the cross, it is the same. Sin and sickness, same thing in the eyes of God. It comes from the pit of hell, and God has made provision on his cross. By his stripes, we are healed. God wants to forgive everyone's sin. The only challenge is they must just ask. They must just believe. So why don't some people's sin aren't forgiven? Because they're not asking God to forgive them. So if we come by faith, it will be. Matthew 4:23, healing all kinds of sickness and disease. This was Jesus. Matthew 8:16, and healed all who were sick. Let's say that, all. All who were sick. Matthew 9:35, he preached the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among the people. Matthew 10:1, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. To who? His disciples. That's you and me. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness. And then it says, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. Jesus shows us what Christian living looks like. So what's the pathway to miracles? John 2:5. But his mother told the servants, this is Jesus at the wedding, the wine. There wasn't enough wine. Can you believe it? That's so sad. And then his mom wants to save the day, and she tells the servants, but his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. So what's the key to receive a miracle? Radical obedience. Just do what he tells you. Just do what the Holy Spirit. Jesus would heal people in a multitude of different ways. A multitude of different ways. What I found is over the last year, the next time we have a healing thing, I want to do it like we did last time. And the Lord has rebuked me and said, don't do it. Don't do that. Do what I tell you. Do what I tell you. Otherwise, your faith is in the method and not in God. Okay, so you need to be sensitive to the Spirit. So when you're standing with someone, you're praying for them, you want to, and obviously if you have time, if it's on the street, you don't have much time, but if you're like in a service situation, you want to ask God, okay, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? What is the root of this issue? And the challenge is the golden snake on the pole in the Old Testament, or bronze snake, that they the guys were bitten by snakes, they cried out for help, God save us. God spoke to Moses, and they said, make a bronze snake, put it on a pole. Whoever looks at the snake will be healed. Do you know that later on that snake became a false idol? People started to worship the snake. And so later generations, the kings who turned back to God had to destroy the snake. And I believe that's what happened with us. We look at a man and say, oh, he is the healer. Or we did it like this. That is how you heal. No, that's not how you heal. You heal by doing whatever he tells you to do. Whatever he tells you to do. So you need to be in that sensitive place with God, the Holy Spirit, to hear, to know, okay, this is what God is saying. Let's do this. And so if you want to know the will of God, that's why the word of knowledge is so powerful. If you're in a meeting and God reveals a word of knowledge, then it shows it is his will right now for that person. So Randy Clark shares a story in one of his meetings. He had a picture of a horse, a white horse. That's all he saw. And he shared, I see a picture of a white horse. Then there was a lady there with significant, massive problems. She was thrown by the horse, and the horse trampled all over her. So she had massive broken parts in her body, loads of operations and things to try and sort her out. And then when he just shared that word, she was instantly healed. Instantly healed. The word was, the healing was just released over her. So this is where the power of your testimony comes in. Releasing faith and duplicating miracles. Do you know what I found? This is so encouraging to me. You just need one testimony. This is sort of what I've been doing now. One person got healed. Next time around, I tell that story. Someone else gets healed. Woo-hoo. Next time around, I got two stories. More faith, more grace, more of God's power being released. That is just so amazing. So when you, it's literally like you get a story, you get a testimony. Jesus healed that person's back. Now you're standing with someone who's a back problem. Let me tell you a good story. When I prayed for her, her back got healed. It's God's will for you too. You pray for them, bam, healed. In other words, it's not striving for it. It's not working for it. It's just literally just holding the testimony, just sharing what God has done. Just share who he is. He's the God that heals. He's the great physician. And then people are healed. Okay. So I just want to encourage you. And if you don't have your own story, tell someone else's story. Tell someone else's story. Okay, so I just quickly want some of the guys, if over the last year you have prayed for someone and they've been healed. And I want short stories now. Short stories, we can maybe do 3 or 4 stories. Okay, who's going to share? That's it, brother. That's it. The brother gets up and he moves.
Okay, so this is a story I'm going to read for you because I just wrote it down after it happened. It happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago at work. It's a story about back pain, severe back pain being healed. So if you've got a lot of back pain at the moment, you know, just be open to receive healing as well as I read it. Okay, greeted the security guard Friday morning, and asked him how he's doing. Asked me for money for a taxi. I told him I do not have money for him, but if he has any signals of pain in his body, I could pray for him. He said he was struggling with severe back pain. Pains when he stands, pains when he sits. Okay, so then I just started praying for him. I just released, asked if I can pray for him, and he said yes, and I released God's healing over him, and he says it feels better. So I told him, okay, test it, you know, bend over and so forth. It's better. But I could see that he was still in discomfort. I asked if I could pray again, and he agreed. Again, says that he felt better. And that he would tell me later today, you know, how he's feeling. But I was not totally convinced that he was healed. So anyway, at the end of the day, I didn't see him at that end of that day. But that was a Friday. The Monday morning, I comes and he's standing there again. So immediately I go to him and ask him, yo, you know, how's your back doing? Ask him how his back is doing. He says he's completely healed. He has no more pain. He goes on to say because of the back pain he used to have, he could not work over weekends because he works from Monday to Friday. And in those days, his back would pain so much that it wasn't possible for him to work on the weekend. But after what happened that Friday, he worked the Saturday and he worked the Sunday. And he was there this Monday morning again, working. And then he says, this is his words. He says, pins in my back have been removed. I feel like a young man on this Monday morning. Feel fresh. God is good. He heals. Okay, amen.
Okay, I've got two small stories. The one of my friend's daughters was having some problems, like serious pain, because she had some ovary cyst in her ovary. So went around and prayed for her, and she went back to PE and didn't hear anything. It seemed to be going better. Then a week or two later, it got worse. It seemed like it got worse. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "But this cyst you've got has shrunk to a pip, and it's trying to come out." And the doctor couldn't explain it. So it's obviously God that healed her. And then there's another one. You can clap off. Okay, clap for that one. Then there was another one with my dad. I mean, sharing the gospel with my dad every time I go down to Cape Town. And the one last year, sometime I was chatting to him, and then I laid hands on him and I prayed for him. He's got, I think it's pancreatic cancer, but it's not malignant and it's growing very slowly. So every few months he goes for a checkup. And up till now, he hasn't needed chemo or anything. So I laid hands, prayed for him. A few months later, we also went to the conference, and he actually gave his life to the Lord at the Shofar conference. And then soon after that, he went to the doctor, the oncologist, and they said, but the tumor has shrunk. So he doesn't need chemo because the tumor has shrunk. It's busy shrinking and still shrinking. So, yeah, God healed him as well.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, this story is about me, but it's encouragement for, because I haven't shared the story before, and it's encouragement for the people who were there who prayed for me. A couple of months back, probably six, Jimmy was there, Leah and Sean. Yeah, you might not remember, but you will just now. So basically, it started when I was 18. I started getting arthritis. I was diagnosed 2005. It was quite bad. It ended my competitive swimming career completely. I couldn't continue. So I'm a doctor, so I have to work. The reason I'm saying is I have to work long hours. So for me, even as a student, like long rounds or whatever, I kept like shifting. And so I had basically, it was my knees, my jaw, my shoulders, my sternum, my back, of course. And so what lay ahead for me was basically they told me eventually my spine would fuse. It's called a bamboo spine. It's quite funny. So I also knew my brother-in-law's housemate at varsity also had it, and he had bilateral hip replacements at 35. So I was quite emo about it. But anyway, so I started feeling better about last year for a short period. I stopped my medication, and it didn't work. It was a lot of pain. I was in a handful of pain tablets every day. So about 6 months ago, someone prayed for me in church, all of these guys, and didn't feel better on the day. I was a little bit like, okay, you know, whatever. But I felt a peace. Which I thought was okay. Cool. Thank you, God. That's good enough. Sorry if it's getting too long. I'll try to finish quickly. Went home. I was a little bit like, why isn't healing for me or whatever? But I decided to take the leap of faith, and I tested God, and I tested it, and I stopped all my medication, and I'm now just, long story short, I visited my specialist a couple of weeks ago. Everything's normal. I'm off my medication, completely pain-free. I ran the surfers in February, no pain, nothing.
Come on. That is awesome. Jesus heals.
It's Okay, I was one of those that were at the Bikers Church, and I had a stomach ulcer, and I couldn't sleep for almost over a week. Every night when I'd go to bed, I'd wake up with like a burning heat inside of me, and it was really, really sore, and I wasn't eating much and everything. And then Aldi and Claire prayed for me, and as they were praying for me, the heat just got so intense, like it was really, really, really hot, like seriously. And and then, yeah, after they prayed for me, I could just feel that heat subsiding, and it was gone completely. Like after that, no symptoms, nothing. And from being every single night not being able to sleep to having completely good night's rest, it was awesome.
Someone else? Come, Shay.
Okay, my story is from India. Ashley told me I'm going to say it. We had a church service. I can't remember what day it was. And I was very freaked out to pray for people because I wasn't sure if, like, I at that time I was like, no, I can't do it. And then I was like, no, wait. Okay, so it's God doing it through me. Anyway, so a lady came up and she had an interpreter with her. Couldn't really understand, though, like, what she was trying to say. So we just started praying for her, and I felt like a leaning towards rubbing her on her shoulders and her hands, and prayed and prayed and prayed. And when I was finished, she was doing that with her hand, and I didn't understand why she was doing that. And then somebody else came who could speak better English, and came and explained that this lady for many years was unable to open up her hand without excruciating pain, and her elbows, she couldn't lift up her hands because, lift up her arms because her elbows were like locked, they were so sore. And after we had prayed, it wasn't even specifically for hands or shoulders, I mean, or elbows, but just praying in general and just rubbing her on her elbows and on her hands, this lady could lift up her hands, she could open up, I mean, lift up her arms, and she could open up and close her hands, like, with no pain. She was completely like, oh, my word, what just happened? And I think I was more freaked out than what she was, because I was like, oh, that's so cool. But her hands were up, and she was like, thank you, Jesus. Her hands were open, and she had no pain in her elbows, no pain in her hands. Just so cool. Just very, very cool.
I just wanted to share something that happened with me last night or this morning, just to show God is into small things as well. Since Monday, I woke up Monday morning with an excruciating headache, and the whole week I had a terrible headache. And then on Thursday, I started getting a really bad stomach bug, and I wasn't eating because we were fasting, so it wasn't anything I ate. Yesterday, I was basically in bed most of the day, feeling really, really sick. And I came last night because I really wanted to come. But I was feeling sick the whole time I was here. And a few people prayed for me, and I didn't get better. And I was like, I kept feeling like God is not so much worried about, I was just like, stop thinking about it all. It's just a stomach bug, get over yourself, that kind of thing. Like, he's more into big miracles and small miracles. And then I went home, and I wasn't feeling well. And then this morning I woke up, and in that moment, like, well, you're not completely awake, but you're waking up. I just felt God saying he's into the details. So he's even into me coming here and not having stomach pain. So no headache, no stomach pain. So I'm healed.
Amen. Absolutely. He cares about every little thing. And the thing is, why I also want you to share these things is you need to remind yourself of every time previously you pray for someone and they got healed. In the moment when you pray for someone, all you need to remember is when it worked. It builds your faith. It builds your faith. Okay, so or even just you pray for someone, just remember a testimony of someone else, of what the Lord has done through someone else. Okay, so testimonies. Is a testimony, is a declaration to God to do it again, okay? And that's part of it. We need to have a culture of sharing stories like that. Remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. Okay, then that's a mission 2, okay? We want the kingdom to reign, and the key is faith, okay? apostolic faith. Mission 3, win souls. The evangelistic grace, win souls. Okay, now this is something the Lord has just really also laid on my heart over the last year or so. It's just, we were focusing middle of last year, we're focusing a lot on miracles, but I wasn't seeing people coming to Christ. And I realized the Lord spoke to me and said, you can become a little group on your own. And you do miracles and you're very deep. But it's not accessible to the world out there. It's not accessible to people. In other words, we become so weird that no one can relate to us. And so we always need to be aware of how does this look to someone else? What am I communicating now? For instance, if you go into in the shopping mall, you get a word for someone. So you go to them, excuse me, but the Lord has spoken. And then you do a few interesting shakes. Now you've already lost them, okay? So they're going to run. Even if it's a word from the Lord, they're going to run and they're going to run far. So we need to make whatever we do accessible. So you tone down what you say. You speak in a normal language. You don't go King James Version. You just tone it down. Stuff the Christian knees. Try and communicate in a way. I mean, use New Age language if you have to. But just use language that people can relate to. Okay. So we want the gospel, we want the kingdom to be accessible. So we don't go weird. Okay, so host the presence without being weird. And what the key is for me, the last month or so, the Lord really, I really feel the Lord laying this on my heart. The key, the grace that we must trust God here for in terms of winning souls is the power of conviction. The power of conviction. In other words, it's pointless to have a miracle, but the miracle, the sign, doesn't lead someone to Christ. So what is the key? The power of conviction. It's an anointing. It's a grace. In other words, you know, the true evangelists, they sing Oros, and people come to Christ because there's an anointing upon their lives. Okay? I'm obviously simplifying it. But there's an anointing. The same way that we can receive an anointing for healing, we can receive an anointing for conviction. Conviction. What's conviction? It's like, I need God. I need Jesus. He's real. That must be the outflow of the miracle. The miracle must be a sign that points people to Jesus. It's not a win if someone doesn't know Christ and a miracle happens, but they never turn to Jesus. We must trust that in the moment they must. So you and I need to be bold. You need to be bold. Don't just gun for the miracle. Gun for their souls in a loving, humble, godly way. So ask them, hey, do you know what this means? This means God is real. Do you know what this means? It means God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus healed you because he loves you and he wants you to be with him in heaven. So you need to then step on that miracle. You need to use the miracle. You need to use it as a sign. Okay, let's say that it is a sign that points to God. Okay, so that's very important. The miracle points to Jesus. And you and I need to then step into the evangelistic anointing and grace, and we all have it as believers. We are called to be witnesses. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if you are anointed, if you are baptized in the Spirit, you have the power to witness. Stop saying you're not an evangelist. Stop saying you can't lead people to Christ. Stop saying rubbish like that. It's contrary to Scripture. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to witness. Let's say that I am a witness for Christ. Let's say this as well. when I share about Jesus. The conviction of God falls upon them. And they will turn to Jesus. You need to start believing it. You need to start believing. Last year, about a month or two before we went to India, I got a word randomly. I was in a meeting, and then the Lord spoke to me, and he told me, you are an evangelist. You are an evangelistic anointing. I mean, that's random. I didn't think so. Then when I checked my emails the next morning, I got an email from India. Pastor said, we're having an evangelistic meeting. Thinking, yes, I am an evangelist. I am an evangelist. But it's amazing how God gives that word. And it's just because there is now an evangelistic meeting. So what? You're an evangelist. Whatever you need for whatever situation, God gives it to you. Beginning of this year, over the holidays, I was not very focused. And I feel like I wasn't really as, I didn't do everything I should have done. I know of all these meetings beginning of the year in Cape Town. And then I remember got this picture of me in my civilian clothes, my swimming costume, just chilling at sort of beach thing. And I just saw this picture of me was stepping into an armory, and suddenly I've got my camo on and just weapons. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. And I just take it on and go. And the Lord just said to me, when you say yes to a mission, I equip you. Even if you didn't focus so much in the holiday. That built my faith. That gave me, and that's the power of revelation. A revelation knowledge hit me, and I knew, I'm equipped. I can storm these meetings in Cape Town. The people will be freaking amazed. And they were, because God was there. Not me, God was there. But yet, that faith, the key is you need to have faith. God equips you for whatever. Just say yes. God, I say yes. He's going to equip you. He's going to equip you. Okay, Acts 2, 37. The last few goes quickly. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Let's say that, cut to the heart. That's the conviction power. Okay, so there was Peter, the Apostle Peter, the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out. He preached the message. It says, and they were cut to the heart. Power of conviction. And 3,000 men came to Christ that one day. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, what happens? People come to Christ. People come to Christ. That is evangelistic grace. If it's only signs and wonders, no one's coming to Christ, we're missing it. There needs to be evangelistic, convicting power. A true revival is where people repent. Yes, there can be joy and fun and everything else. But if sinners do not confess their sin, something's wrong. Okay. And so we need to trust the Lord for it. And for me, if you go to that of the fivefold ministry, I feel there's error in the sense that there's a lack of the power of conviction in many supernatural pursuits. Lack of power of conviction. It's unbalanced. Okay, so we need to position ourselves right. So it says there, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they, what shall we do? Peter, we're hearing, what should we do? And that's what you want. When the miracle happened, you prayed for someone for a healing, the response must be, what shall I do? What should I do? I want to be right with God. So we need to add the evangelistic grace to the healing grace. Okay, it says there, then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise to you, your children, all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Repent, turn to Jesus. So ask people, after you've prayed for them, so if you die now, where are you going? How's your relationship with Jesus? Are things in order? What's happening? Do you have relationship with Jesus? Follow up and be bold. Okay, you must share. Significant miracles. Whole towns came to Christ when there was just even one significant miracle. God confirming his word with signs following. Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The hand of the Lord was with them for signs and wonders. The signs pointed to God. The signs caused faith. And they turned to the Lord. They believed and they turned to the Lord. That should be the outflow. Okay. Acts 13:12. The Apostle Paul was in Cyprus area, island, and he went to speak to the proconsul, and there was other sorcerer, and the sorcerer were challenging them and accusing them and confronting them. And the Apostle Paul, he turned to him and said, "You, something of you, son of darkness," or whatever, "son of iniquity, you shall be blind and you shall no longer see." And then a mist fell over the evil sorcerer's eyes. He got blind. He needed help for someone to lead him around. And the result was, then the proconsul believed. This is a leader. This is like a leader in the city. When he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. The teaching confirmed by signs and wonders. Okay, guys. So, when you missions teams, wherever you go, you do not fear a witch doctor, a Satanist, a whatever. You love them. You love them. The devil doesn't know what to do with love. He's terrified of love, but he can work with fear. You fear? Not going to be effective. You just love. Just love. Okay, mission 4, almost finished. Last one, the second last one. I shared last night, revelation power. There's just another quote here. It says, living the gospel of the here and now. The gospel of the kingdom can only be achieved if we receive revelation for today. The word become flesh. The word become flesh. As I shared, you need a revelation of the great physician. You must see Jesus as healer, and then you're going to see him heal. A doctrine doesn't move our spirit. Revelation does. Okay, I shared that last night. A doctrine doesn't. Jesus heals. So that doesn't really excite me. That doesn't necessarily. But when you get a revelation of it, it excites you. It moves your spirit. And you see, false theology based on lack of experience. Many people have a false theology because of the lack of experience. They have prayed, or they just don't see people getting healed, so they change their doctrine. Well, healing isn't for today anymore. Or healing isn't for me, only for other people. It's false theology. Jesus said, it's for everyone. John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So who qualifies? Who qualifies? Who qualifies? Those who believe. Which is all of you. Anyone can believe. But those who believe, it's literally just when you have faith, when you believe, it's something on the inside of you that you know, and then it happens. So you want to read that again. Revelation elevates, stimulates, activates, and accelerates our spirit. That's what you want. It's an impelling force that drives us forward, inducing spiritual motion that leads us to seize the truth and apply it to our lives and or to the lives of others. F.F. Bosworth says, freedom from sickness comes from knowing the truth. Freedom from sickness comes from knowing the truth. He was a healing evangelist in the early 1900s. And he said he would pray for people, and then some of them don't get healed. And then they would read his book. And while they read his book, they get healed. Because they get a revelation of the truth. And then they're free. Then they get set free. Okay. So let's say this. God will heal me. Let's say that again. God will heal me. Say this. God has healed me. 2,000 years ago. On the cross. It's done. God will heal through me. When I pray for the sick, they get healed because I believe. And I will do the same works as Jesus. and greater in Jesus' name. And I renounce the lie that God only heals in some places of the world. God heals any place, anywhere, at any time. All I need to do is to believe. Okay, faith is the key. Right, last one there. I'm not going to go into it, and then I'm going to. Mission number 5, the pastoral anointing, the power of love. There was a lady when I was ministering in Chofa, Cape Town. There was one of the ladies there, she's blind, completely blind. There were 3 people with eye problems. And she did not get healed. But she spoke to her pastor there and said to him, "It's the first time ever that I've attended one of these meetings and I left not feeling condemned. First time. I always feel bad. I always feel guilty. I always feel condemned. I always feel I didn't do enough. I didn't have enough faith." That for me is a win. She didn't get healed, but it's a win. She felt loved. She felt loved. And that is the key. The win is when somebody feels loved. It's not about getting another victory. The victory is, did they feel you care? So that's why you want to spend time with the people. That's why you want to listen to their stories. That's why you want to give them time. That they at least know they are loved. Okay, the healing ministry is a ministry of love. It's about tangibly loving people. It's showing you care. I care enough for you that I'll pray for you. I'm trusting that God's going to heal you. And so I want to read another testimony. It was a lady here in town, Penelope. He was here in East London at a meeting. Penelope Kuluba, a woman who had been diagnosed with colon cancer 3 years earlier. Doctors had told her that the cancer was aggressive and could not be removed. They also said she would eventually become paralyzed and experience kidney failure. The only option was to put her on radiation, chemotherapy, and let the cancer take its course. In addition, Penelope had to undergo surgery to have a colostomy bag inserted. As a result, she felt self-conscious because not only was she sick, she also carried an unpleasant odor. After diagnosis, Penelope regularly spoke healing over her body. So she started to speak healing over her body, declaring the word of God, telling her body that it was the temple of the Holy Spirit and had not been created with aggressive cancer or a colostomy bag. By the time of the meeting in East London, she was due to have more surgery because she had completed the chemotherapy and the doctors needed to see what was happening in her colon. It says here, "I gave an altar call for those who had cancer or HIV. Penelope made her way to the altar where I laid hands on her and declared her healed in the name of Jesus. 2 weeks later, when she visited the hospital for the first time since the ministry event, the doctors were baffled when they found no trace of cancer. No trace of cancer. They removed the colostomy bag and put everything back to normal. Penelope is now free of cancer and full of vitality by the grace of God." Jesus heals cancer. He heals cancer. Jesus heals whatever needs to be healed. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm just going to quickly, if you can just look on these notes, then we're going to ask a few people to come forward and we're going to trust for a few words of knowledge. And then we're going to pray for everyone that's sick in the house. The relational 5-step prayer model. I'm not going to go into all of it. I'm just going to touch very quickly on it. You can read the rest at home. Okay, but the first part is, it just gives you sort of an outline when you minister to people. The first one is the interview. What's the purpose of the interview? It's to determine the root cause of someone's infirmity or sickness. Quickly stand, turn around, high five someone, and say, "Jesus is going to heal today." Come on, Ellen. Jesus is going to heal today. Okay, I'm starting to get hot here. Is it just me? Not yet. Ugh, come on, it's just me. It's just the Holy Spirit moving upon me. No, it's okay. Yeah, look at my coat sailor. It's always a mission, women and men in the same venue. It's always a challenge. Yeah, we must men this side, women that side. We're going to... Okay, so you can read the rest at home. Please go read this later today just to get it going. But the first one is you want to interview. So you interview the person, you want to know what's the root of the problem. Okay, the root is key. It could be demonic. It could be a demonic root. So it could be that they started to get these symptoms 2 years ago, having gone through trauma, emotional type of trauma, and then after that, they started to experience all of these symptoms. Well, that is possibly the root. So you must ask them, any trauma that happened around that event? Okay, so you want to find out what's the root. Maybe it was just a car crash. Well, then you know what the root is. Maybe it can be unforgiveness as well. Unforgiveness can be a major hindrance to healing. So you want to deal with unforgiveness. There's a question, ask probing questions. Did any significant or traumatic event happen to you within 6 months or a year of this condition starting? Okay, then during the interview, listen to the Holy Spirit. You want to hear, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? What is the root cause of this problem? And then you want to build faith and understanding in the person you're praying for. So it's very important, the interaction. God wants to build faith. So I found, you start praying for someone and you want feedback. Because say there's a problem, say it's a back problem, and now you're praying for them, and then you ask them, what's happening? And then they will tell, you know, I suddenly feel this heat across my back. Then you're thinking, oh, thank you, Jesus, something's happening. It builds your faith, okay? So it doesn't always have to be something that happens, but it does increase your faith when there's a tangible effect happening. It's like I was praying for this lady in India, and she had skin problems, feet, hands, face. And I was holding her hands, praying for her, and then asking the translator, ask her what's happening. And then she said, someone is touching my feet. I think that's epic. That's awesome, because there's no one touching her feet. But God was doing something here. So it was so encouraging. The intimacy as well. Imagine that God would come and touch your feet. Speak so of the love of God. The humility. I'm going to touch your feet. I'm going to heal you. And so that really builds faith. So you want that. You want to encourage them. You want to tell them. You might feel something while I'm praying for you. Okay, so you start off an interview. Next page. Then you do diagnosis and prayer selection. You need to determine. You see, Jesus didn't pray to heal the sick. He commanded the sick to be healed. He said for us to heal the sick. So it's a very religious thing that, it really frustrates me. Like, God, please heal. And yes, you can start there. That's where you start. God, please heal this person. Please build up our faith. Please, but you can't end there. You must, some stage, you must step into the authority that Christ has given you. In the name of Jesus, be healed. So you must take up your authority and speak. And there's such a religious lie going around, you know, that, if it's the will of God. God, if it's your will. It is His will. You cannot, it's not going to happen if it's your will. He has no faith if you say, you must know that He will do it. You must know that He will do it. So examples of prayer of command. In the name of Jesus, I command the inflammation in Joe's knee to be healed. And all swelling and pain to leave. Swelling, pain, leave now. I command this high blood pressure to come down to normal pressure. I command this tumor to shrink, wither, disappear. I curse it. Curse the tumor, not the person. I command the DNA to be rewritten and to give a new message to the body, the message God designed and planned, used when praying for a genetic disorder. I command the DNA to change and be normal. So this is good, just to activate, just to focus your faith on a specific thing. But the amazing thing is Jesus just said, be healed. So that should cover everything. You don't need to know the name of the disorder. But we appreciate the doctors that can tell us what it is. So you should use commands most of the time, but especially in these instances, when breaking a curse or vow commanded in Jesus' name, when casting out an afflicting spirit or an evil spirit, cast it out in Jesus' name. If you pray for someone and they tell you the pain was in my left knee, now it's in my right knee. What is that? It's a demon. It's a demon. Eat to eat you, cutfus. Eetgevang. Now we know. Now we know this is a naughty little demon, and we're going to chase you out. Okay. Tomorrow I'll share something about how small the devil is, but we don't fear. It's actually amazing. It's fun. Demons are easy. Let's go. Come on. When using petition prayers and healing progress has stopped. Okay, so you've been praying, you've been building faith, you've been saying, God, I thank you for faith, thank you for your presence, I thank you, God, that you're going to bring healing now. So you're building faith, then when there has been healing, praise God, but if it stops now, then you start speaking, you start commanding. When being led by the Spirit to use commands, when ministering in evangelistic crusades that involve healing, okay, then you just have to clop it. Evangelistic crusades, you just have to, hoi. So you can mix petitionary prayers and command prayers. So he says, I will often pray petitionary prayers like, come and help me, Holy Spirit. Show me what's wrong here and teach me how to pray in this circumstance. I often pray these petitionary prayers softly. They are addressed to God, not to the person I'm praying for. When I feel I'm in spiritual warfare, I will quiet my spirit and speak to God alone. Father, help me, send your angels to strengthen me and fight on my behalf. Okay, so you can combine the two. You might petition God until faith is present, and then the purpose of God is determined, and then command a condition to be healed. See, if you can get to the root, then it's much easier. If you know it's fear of unforgiveness or whatever, then you can address it. Okay, the most at the bottom of that page, the most common roots are these psychosomatic issues. Oh, just above it says, it is said in medical sources that 80% or more of illnesses are psychosomatic. So you need to deal with these roots like unforgiveness or fear. The most common roots are these psychosomatic issues, the main root of many illnesses, natural causes, accidental injuries or carcinogens, radiation, chemicals, viruses causing cancer, genetic causes, generational curses, afflicting spirits, lifestyle issues, neglecting spiritual teaching regarding rest, diet, exercise, stress. Okay, so the first step, interview. Second step, diagnosis, determining how we're going to deal with this, listening to the Holy Spirit. Third one, now prayer ministry, praying for effect. After the interview, the third step in the five-step prayer model is to begin ministering to the person by praying for effect. You're not praying to comfort the person. You're not addressing your prayer for his or her ears as a form of psychological encouragement. Rather, you're praying for effect. So you're saying, come Holy Spirit, come and touch this person. So you want the power of God to come upon them. There's many, many, many testimonies of when the power of God hits someone, affects someone in a profound way. Sometimes people would fall over, and then when they get up, they are healed. Internally, externally. It doesn't have to be like that. I'm just saying that's one of the ways. God can, sometimes you feel nothing, and yet God is healed. Okay, the person is healed. Okay. Then stop and re-interview. Oh yeah, just above that. I keep my eyes open most of the time so I can see when the Spirit first begin to touch people. They may tremble or perspire, their skin may blotch, tears may fill their eyes or run down their cheeks. Or while I'm praying, I may notice that something I say causes a troubled look or furrowed brow. But often people will begin to feel something long before you can detect it by watching. That is why it's so important for them to tell you the moment they feel anything. So it's like the Holy Spirit is leading you now. The Holy Spirit touches them in a certain way and then leads you. What is the next step? Okay, so you want feedback. Stop and re-interview. Ask him, how are you feeling? What's happening? And then you pray again. We often pray 2-3 times before we stop. And then post-prayer suggestions as what now, depending on what the situation is.